My name is Brad Price. Welcome to another study on the Book of Revelation. In this study, we want to talk about numerology. It's been said that you can study the Book of Revelation simply by the numbers. Tonight, our lead teacher is going to be Ivy Connor. He's done a lot of work on this. Lonnie has also done a substantial amount of work on this, and I may contribute from time to time. But we're going to turn things now over to Ivy and also have some graphics to look at it. So thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoy this study. Ivy, to you.
Thank you, Brad and Lonnie. And folks out there listening, watching this, you're in for a treat. You're going to learn one of the most exciting things in the Book of Revelation is the numbers. You can teach the Book of Revelation from the numbers and from the symbols if you understand them. And you'll see the lesson that we win, the devil loses. And that's the short story. But how it works and the numbers are just phenomenally powerful. I wanted to use a little different way of introducing this than I usually do. I want to talk about symbology and numbers to start with, and I want you to turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in the book of Psalms for two verses on symbolism, and we'll see that what we're telling you is the truth and it's needed. Now, one of the greatest preachers, well-known as preachers, let's say it that way, the best-known preacher in Christendom, teaching Christ in any way, is has said this: bless God, I believe every verse in the Bible is literal. That's a lot. That's a lot of words. I believe every verse in the Bible literal. Well, let's try that out. God's a chicken. If everybody literal, God's a chicken. Isaiah chapter 91 and verse 4. Talking about God, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be the shield and buckler. Now, he's a lot of things. If that's literal, we got a problem here. God's a chicken. Maybe he's a turkey. Maybe he's a pigeon. I don't know, you know, but covering his wings and pinion feathers and so forth. And you know, that's talking about God protecting us. And the Bible uses that illustration of a hen protecting her chicks. Jesus did, didn't he? So there are things here that are involved. Now let's go to Psalm 50:10. This is a revelation passage, even though you may not know it. The Bible interprets the Bible. What we want to do is give you what the Bible says, and we're going to study numbers as the Bible presents them symbolically. So let's see if this is symbolism or if it's literal. And is it true either way? A symbol is true in the symbology of it. It's not false, but is it literally or is it a picture? And so let's figure that out. Psalm 50 and verse 10 is one of my favorite verses. It says that every beast of the forest is mine, God says, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Now, every beast of the forest, mine, so everything belongs to God. Well, why not all the cows? Just 1,000 hills. Now, we live in Arkansas, where I live. We do a lot of cows and poultry. And I'll tell you what, we've got a lot of hills with the Ozarks that run through Arkansas also. And we have over 1,000 hills that have cows on them. I've counted them pretty much, okay? Cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. Well, who the cattle belong to in Texas and Virginia and Indiana and Brazil and California and all these other countries, all these other nations and states, who those, are they belong to God too? Well, what does he mean then? Every beast of the forest is mine, cattle 1,000 hills. That's parallelistic poetry. It's symbolism. God owns all the beasts and God owns all the cattle. The word number 1,000 simply means complete or perfect. Now, I've blown the first number here, 1,000, already and explained to you what 1,000 is going to be in Revelation. It's not going to be a literal number. Why? Because I use 4 points going into Revelation in every one of my lessons. 10 years, 20 years, I don't know, when I wrote my Revelation book and then the correspondence course from that, there are 4 things I put in every lesson. Number one, that it is a book, it is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And number two, that it is a book of symbology. The symbols are there in word picture to tell us about Jesus and what he's going to do. Thirdly, it's a book concerning things which would shortly come to pass. And fourthly, he says the time is at hand. That's in John's day. It's near. You're going to see these things. It's near. Now, again, that's symbolism also. He said he sent and signified it to his angels. Revelation chapter 1:1-3. These are symbols. He tells us they're symbols. So if we're looking at Psalm 50, verse 10, let's see how we got there. The cattle of 1,000 hills belong to God. How does that mean everything? Well, in symbology, one is unity. One can represent God. God is in 3 persons. God has Father, Son, and Spirit. But there's one God. The Bible is very clear. There's not 3 gods. I hear preachers say, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's too many gods. That's tritheism. We have a monotheistic God, a one God that is manifested as Father, Son, and Spirit. How all that happens, again, there's some symbolism there that's way beyond me, but I believe that. You don't have to understand everything in Revelation, but you got to believe it. You need to believe it. Okay. So let's start off here. One is a number of singularity. Can be God, can be one important thing, whatever. 10, when a child is born, they look at the child. Hey, he's got 10 fingers, 5 on each hand. He got 10 toes, 5 on each foot. Well, then he's a perfect child. That's a complete child. And we use that number 10 like they use the number to be a complete number. It's a number of world completion. We'll see it used in Revelation. We'll see it used in multiples. You take 10 times 10, what have you got? 100. Take 10 times 10 times 10, that's 1, you know, times 1,000 is 1,000. 1,000, they're counting 1,000 hills, that's all there are. It's a complete number. Anytime you multiply something in the symbol, in the numbers, it highlights it. It magnifies it. So when Jesus said, verily, verily, that's two verilies, that's really important. He's underlining it. Did have highlighters, okay? When the Bible says, holy, 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 or earth, 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 that's a triplet. That's really important for us to go take a look at that. And so when God uses the number 1,000, it's 10 times 10 times, this is really complete. Then we got 12,000. The number 12,000 used in Revelation liberally. Well, 12,000, what's 12? We're going to find out 12 was the number of the apostles. It stood for the church. And 12 was the number of the tribes of Israel. It stood for Israel, God's people on the earth. And we're going to get to that later. But simply 12 times 12,000 times 12, 12 times is 144,000. That represents something on the earth. It's an earth number, a complete earth number. And we're going to cover that in probably about 30, 40 minutes. We'll get to that part of it. But I'm simply showing you the use of numbers is wonderful. The multiples of it, what it means, it strengthens it. It builds on it. It's really pretty incredible. So Psalm 50 in verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine. That's true. Everything belongs to God. And the cattle on 1,000 hills, all those belong to him too. If there's 1,001 hills and more cattle on them, God owns those too. It's a figurative discussion. You guys understand that? You guys agree with that and see the power of that?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. And I've used that to break into the story to start talking about it. But in the book of Revelation, the first three verses, he tells us that these are going to be things that are symbolic. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, God says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful one which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keeps commandments to 1,000 generations. 1,000 generations, they're not even 1,000 generations, but it means to all generations. It means complete, the number 1,000. God talks about the 10,000 things of the law in Hosea 8:12. 10,000 things, the law doesn't have 10,000 things. You know, the commandments, I think, are about 600, 700 commandments. But it's not that, but 10,000 is all the things of the law God wants us to know. Peter teaches in 2 Peter 3:8 that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. That teaches that time is relative and immaterial to God. That's in the New Testament. I was thinking also of the symbology. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, I am the door. Was he got hinges? He got a knob? No, it just means he's access to, he's the way we get there. Through Jesus, that's symbolism, not literal. The guy that said that, the preacher that said every verse is liberal is literal is not true. It's not true. That's symbolism. John 15, the vine and the branches. I am the vine. You're the branches. Jesus isn't leafy green. He didn't turn green. We're not a bunch of sprigs out of the vine. It's symbolism that we get our nutrition from Jesus and we're to bear fruit. It is symbolism, and most people can understand that simply. This is only logical using the numbers the way the Bible uses. Now, 2 Peter 3:8 talks about the day of the Lord. It's a day, and he says it's coming, and one day of the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. Somebody said, well, then you can make Revelation anything. No, you cannot. You cannot do that. One day is with the Lord, 1,000 years, but not with man. Now, the question I have is with 2 Peter 3:8, is God writing to man or is he writing to God? If God's writing to God, then one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But if God's writing to us, that's not true. One day isn't with us as 1,000 years. You go down and you buy a car on 38-month payments or 36-month payments for 3 years, and you say, you know, second, third payment, I think I'll wait a few months on this. And they call you, hey, buddy, you know, bring the car back. What do you mean? Well, it's due after 30 days. Oh, no, well, the day of the Lord is 1,000 years. You won't use that any kind of a logical experience. So they'll come get your car. They'll come get your color TV or your widescreen TV. They'll come get your house if you act like that. The one day with the Lord is, time is immaterial to God, but to us, a day is a day. So we can't use that ruse that some people want to use. So the number 1,000 represents completion. It's an indefinite number. It's like an X in algebra. It's flexible. It's variable. Satan, when he's bound for 1,000 years from deceiving the nations, then we're going to find out what that means. And they're living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. The saints are. Satan is not dead in the book of Revelation. He's only restricted. Even when he's judged, he's boiling away in fire and brimstone. And he's not dead. He's not dead. So it was limiting his power. And we'll get to that when we get into the passages. All right. But keep this in mind. Symbolism, it's symbolism, not literal. You wait for the rest of the story on this when we get into this, the City Four Square and all of that. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time with that. So there we go. Now let's go on down in our outline, back up to number one, and we'll talk about this. But the thing I want to impress everybody with that's watching is that the symbols are important and they're understandable and they work throughout the book of Revelation. These are some that are used in the book of Revelation. Of course, the Bible talks about there's one God. There's one God. And one also refers to unity. There's one body and there's one spirit. Even though in the book of Revelation, we find seven spirits, that goes into one actual spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, the number two means strength. Two are better than one. If Lonnie and I go rabbit hunting, I'm not too fast. I don't know about Lonnie. We're going rabbit hunting. We're going to have a tough time if we're by ourselves. But with two of us, it's better than one trying to catch that rabbit. We can get it pinned in. We can find a way to get to that rabbit. You know, two are better than one. And Revelation 11:3-4 talks about the power of strength of the two wings of an eagle. That's power that helps deliver God's people. So a lot of things going on here. The two is like redoubling courage or energy. It's a doubling of what it is. God wanted his disciples to go out two by two at times. And we talked about where two or three are gathered together, Matthew 18:20. That's not talking about church now. That's talking about a judgment scene. Church isn't even in the context. Two or three gathered together, God said, there I am with his judgment on a brother that's been wronged or a brother that has a grievance. I mean, if you're in the middle of the ocean and you're in the Navy and you're on a ship like one of my relatives was, you can worship God. You have to wait for two or three people to show up. It's a generic term, two or three witnesses gathered together. That's for a judgment to determine where God is on it through that witnessing of that event. So the idea of two are simply strength or the power that come together in that. And even as witnesses, power for the witness. Three is a family number, father, mother, child. Or it can have a divine perfection. It also can refer to deity. God is known as Father, Son, and Spirit. We're supposed to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It didn't say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So it is a collective term that can point to deity, can point to family. The number four, man lives in a world of four. We live in a world of four. Four walls, four directions, four winds. Four becomes a symbolic number for man's world. We find four living creatures, four horsemen of the apocalypse for sure. Along with these are four corners of the earth. Now, he's not saying the earth is square or a cube, not at all. The word four simply means complete. Four winds blow, that's from each direction. Four horns of the altar, the four angels. This has a relationship to the world that we are in here. Then there's seven. Now, seven is a number that comes about when you take the number four, man's universe, plus three, the godly number, you put that together. And that is the most precious and most favorite number of the Jews is the number seven. And it involves be completion or mature. Some say it's perfect. It can refer to that. But primarily it means complete or all there is in a godly sense. Man's perfect world number is four. Add it to God's number three. And that equals seven. That seven is sacred to the Jews, as we said. In Revelation, we find many sevens, seven churches of Asia, seven angels, seven stars, seven golden candlesticks, the book with seven seals, a scroll it was, seven trumpets, seven thunders. I'd like to know what those are. Wait till we get there. Maybe somebody can help us understand. That was a tough one. You'll see when we get there. There are seven thunders. I don't think anybody knows what those are. I'll tell you why when we get there. Seven bowls of wrath. We know what those are. Seven spirits. All those scriptures there that come in the graphic that we have here is in my Bible correspondence course. And here they're available for you to copy down and use however you want to. These are the 7 days. There are 7 days in a complete week. When you finish 7 days, what do? You start on Sunday again. Sunday's first day of the week. You go through 7 days, Saturday. Then the next day is Sunday. So that's the next day. And that becomes the number eight, and that means new beginnings. We'll get to that again in a minute. Three and a half. Seven cut in half becomes three and a half. R times times at half a time. That'll be explained later. That was a hard one for me to get a hold of. What is times time and a half again? And a half. It's three and a half, and we'll illustrate how that works. It'll be very clear. The Bible says so. We'll explain that. But the broken seven, if seven is taken and broken in half, the broken seven means incomplete, three and a half, or that which is imperfect. It stands for indefinite or dissatisfied, and it's used in all these passages, Revelation 11, 2 and 3, Revelation 12, verse 6, verse 14, Revelation chapter 13, verses 5 and 6 and 14. So there are a lot of places this seven is used as a three and a half, or times time, half a time. That's an easy one. We come back and study this, but we're showing you how these things work, and then we'll put them together and integrate them a little bit. Eight, the number of new beginnings. This is a great one. The Revelation talks about eight in there. The Bible talks about eight, also known as a resurrection number. Children were circumcised on the eighth day. That meant they were part of the covenant then. The male babies were taken, circumcised on the eighth day. After the flood cleansed the earth, eight souls came from the ark into, guess what? A new world. The old world was gone. The wickedness was gone. A new renewed earth comes, and the number eight begins that new world with eight souls, the new beginnings. Jesus rose on the first day of the week. He died, he buried. Hey, the new beginning, the beginning of Christianity, the beginning of the church and all of these things. The disciples met together 8 days later, the next week, on the first day of the week. Now, the first week, as you remember the story in John chapter 20, they were there, and Thomas wasn't there, was he? He was missing. He probably had to go fishing. Maybe he had some company. He didn't feel like going. He missed a great event because Jesus appeared to the 11. And they said, hey, we've seen the Lord. You're full of beans. I mean, I think that's in the Greek. He said, you guys don't know what you're talking about. I don't believe unless I see him. Put my hands in the nails, in the print of his nails. I won't believe. And Jesus said, here I am, Thomas. And he said, my Lord and my God. So that's quite interesting there, where that is brought out and discussed in these things. But 8 days later, there Jesus is, and Thomas was there the next Sunday. He missed the first Sunday night. You might not want to miss Sunday night. I know a lot of people are missing Sunday nights because of our COVID issues that we have going on there. But there we go. All right. So eight's new beginnings. Ten again is a complete number from man's perspective. Man looks at himself. He finds five fingers on each hand, five toes on each foot, a total of 10. Therefore, a complete or perfect man physically, he had all his members intact. It's, again, an earth number, really. In the Bible, we have 10 times 4. Man's complete world equals 40. 40 days and nights, 40 years wilderness wandering, 40 days of fasting by Jesus in the desert and the temptation. 40 years each for the reigns of Saul, David, and Solomon. 40 is a very interesting number we can study later. Revelation has 10 horns. 10, the number 10. It's the completeness. So 10 horns, a complete power. Horns represent power, not honk, honk horns, but horns on an animal or the dragon. 10 horns is complete power, worldly power. 1,000 years, complete years, earth-type time, symbolic. Now you take 12. 12, we said, is the number we'll find next of God's people on the earth. So that's 12 times 1,000. That's all there are. Now you take that and multiply by another number 12, and you've just expanded highlight to 144,000. So all multiples of 10 are these multiples of 10. And what we have here is that the God's church, the number of people in the church that Christ has at any one time in the earth is 144,000. I said, there may be 10 million. There may be, you know, five people on the earth. But God's number represented by 144,000 is what we're going to find in the book of Revelation. Revelation, remember 70 times 7. Well, 7 is a complete number. 7 times 10 is 70. 7 times 7 is 490. That's all there is. How much should you forgive a brother? Completely. Completely. And then we find these things in the book of Revelation that these numbers are used. He says in Revelation 2:10, you're going to have problems and persecution for 10 days. You won't suffer long 10 days. There'll be a complete time, but then be faithful to death. You're not going to die. You're going to receive the crown. Then these other places where we have the number 10 used. The number 12, I like this one. This is the number 4, man's complete world, times 3, the divine number, Father, Son, Spirit. It's God times this 312, and that's symbolic of God's servants on the church. The church came about through Jesus. Jesus was born of Mary, of a human, and of the Holy Spirit. There's the divine and the human. And so Jesus then brought us about the church. And that number, again, is 12, God's organized religion. In the Old Testament, Jacob, the sons of Jacob were 12. Actually, there were more than 12, if you know the truth about it. Joseph's tribe became two more. And we can talk about that later because it has something to do in Revelation. We get to chapter 7. Be interesting to find that number and how that's used. But Israel and the New Testament both use the number 12. 12 represents the 12 tribes of Israel. That's God's people on earth, not heaven. And then the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus, the chief cornerstone. And in the city four square there, the foundation is 12. It's an earth number. It tells you this is not heaven, this is on earth. And if we get that 12 down, it's an earth number, not a heaven number. Jehovah's Witnesses have a problem. They got the 144,000 in heaven and the innumerable multitude on earth. But God says, no, the 12,000, the 144,000 are those on the earth. The innumerable multitude is in heaven. They got the thing backwards in chapter 7, and we will show that. When we get into these numbers and get into the text, it's just going to be crystal clear. Jerusalem had 12 gates into the city, God's city, the place of the temple. That's on earth, all right? In the New Testament, we have 12 apostles, the foundation of the church, Ephesians 2:20. In Revelation, there are 24 elders about the throne. Well, what's this about? That's a good question. Maybe you guys have some point of view, and I want to stop and take a breath here in a minute and get back to this because I was going to stop. We'll make some comment on these before we go on. But let me get through 12. There are 24 rulers on the throne. What is that? Organized religion? Is it the 12 from the Old Testament worthies? 12 tribes representing the 12 tribes? And is it 12 of the apostles? I don't know what it is. I wouldn't be, but it's a number of those who were worshiping God, had crowns on their head, had white robes, they'd overcome, and they cast their crowns back to the throne, showing their reverence to God, that the power came from God. So there we have that. The city four square in Revelation 21 had 12 gates with 12 angels, 12 names of the tribes of Israel, 12 foundations, 12 apostles. The city measures 12,000. Don't take the versions that say 1,500 miles. That ruins the figure of the 12s. Stick with the literal 12,000 furlongs or 12, whatever it is. You have 144 cubits of the wall. You have 12 precious stones. You have 12 gates. That's all about the earth. It's not heaven. The city four square is an earthly thing. It's the church. And we'll get to that. Don't want to spill too many beans here, Lonnie, but there we can talk about that. When we get to chapter 21, this idea will be an exciting and inspiring revelation. What a conclusion to anticipate. When we get there, it's going to just open up like a rose petal, a rose blossoming. And there are more 12s in Revelation chapter 22. 12 manner of fruit, 12 months. That's not heaven. The Nations are still being healed over there, folks. I've taken a lot of fire because I've said, no, that's not heaven. 21 and 22 is about the church, but it cannot be otherwise because he tells you twice in chapter 21 who he's talking about, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Symbolism, we got it. What do you suppose the 12 is? Again, symbolic of God's people, service on earth. God's organized religion. Remember, in the New Testament, that's Christ's church. Wait to hear the rest of the story. Now, I'm going to stop right there. We'll come back and pick it up there. If you hold us there, we can come off the screen with that till we come back on if you want to, Brad. But Lonnie, I know that you have some things you probably want to say about this.
Now, you've done a really good job of outlining the use of those numbers. That is, there are two or three things that we really need to understand before going into Revelation and really getting into the text. And one of those is how those numbers work. And, you know, numbers in that period of time, and I'm not trying to add too much to what Ivy said because we did a wonderful job with it, but numbers, at the time the Bible was written, were kind of like thoughts. They brought up a certain thought when they used those numbers. Mm-hmm. We do that today some.
Yes.
We have, if I ask you what you thought of when you thought of the number seven, you'd probably say that you thought it was a lucky number.
7-11.
Well, that's 7-11. Just
7-11. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the way we use it. So it conjures up a thought for us, and that is how the Revelation is written too. Is these numbers conjure up certain thoughts? The number 12, which I was just talking about, conjures up the organization of God's religion. He used the 12 tribes in the Old Testament. He used the 12 apostles in the New Testament. So it's how God organized his religious following, the organization of the nation of Israel and the church. So we can look at those numbers and just look and see how they're used in the Bible. The one that intrigues me most is the number 3. Ivy explained that well. I think he did a marvelous job of it. But when I teach these classes, one of the things that I have people do when we're talking about symbolism and the number 3 is that just think. All you have to do, you don't have to answer out loud, but just think about the number of events in the life of Christ that happened in series of threes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just over and over and over, you know, first, you know, we go to the, he was found guilty on the third hour of the day to be crucified. 3 hours from that, you had darkness, and 3 hours from that, you had his death. He was in the grave 3 days, 3 nights. So many of the things in the Bible dealing with Christ happened in series of threes.
Death, burial, resurrection. Death, burial, resurrection. Yeah.
There were three crucified. Mm-hmm. They were crucified the third hour of the day. And you can also take multiples of that 3, and you, some events, if they lasted longer than the 3 hours or something, they may use 6 or 9. Sometimes multiples of that 3 becomes important. So that number 3 is really an intriguing study. And if you were going to sit down and look at that, I would strongly suggest that you just go through and look at the number of times that the number 3 is used in relationship to things that Christ did on this earth. So it's a wonderful study, and it's a must before we study the book of Revelation. So Ivy, I'll let you get back to what you're doing.
I'll jump back in here for just a second, if that's okay. A couple quick things as far as the numbers that we're looking at, a couple things that jumped out to me. When you look at the number 7, I think if I remember correctly, over 50 times you find the number 7 in the book of Revelation. Mm. That is a bunch.
That's right.
A book which is divided up into 22 chapters.
There's a signal. There's a signal there somewhere. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Something, yeah. God is, it's like a flashing red light. Really pay attention to this. And 10, obviously 10 commandments. So just one more.
That's good. Yeah.
Indication, yeah, that 10 is a key number. So
how about symbology 13 in our day and time? That represents something, doesn't it? I mean, that's a powerful number. 666, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, we'll get into that. But yeah, go ahead, guys. I ran through those pretty quickly. But go ahead and elaborate on anything else. We got time, I think, now to if you want to say anything else on that, or then we'll get to 666. I'd like to get to that when you're ready.
I might just mention what Addie did about the number 13. I meant to mention that a while ago. Why do we not have 13th stories on high-rise buildings?
I can't imagine.
Because it's a superstition, or people think it's an unlucky number.
Yeah.
And it goes so far as that you don't put those numbers on the floors in high-rise buildings.
That's amazing.
So it conjures up a thought. And that's what we have to know and understand about Revelation, is that what thought, or how is that number being used in a symbolic way? And so I appreciate you reminding me of the number 13.
Yeah. Yeah. Black cat. I mean, that's a symbol of something, you know, out there that we don't want, you know, running across it. But see, we have that mindset. They knew these numbers better than we know them now. These were powerful numbers. That's how they spoke. You know, hey, that's a 7, man. That's God's way. You know, the 12, let me read this real quickly. Revelation 7. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, again, that's symbolic. That's not the corner of an earth, like a square. And on the four corners of the earth, holding four winds of the earth back, these angels are holding back judgment, the wind of judgment to come, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the ceiling of the tree. They're protecting us. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. And anytime something comes from the east in Revelation, it's good news. Get up in the morning. You know, the sun here in northwest Arkansas comes up from the east. How about you, where you live, Brad, in Indiana? Where does it come up?
Same deal.
Really in the east? What about you, Lonnie?
Yeah, I believe that's east. Right.
Well, then it's good news. In the morning, it's good news. The sun came up again. Well, anytime it comes from the east, that's good news. I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God. He cried with a loud voice. God loves loud-mouthed angels. I mean, he leather-lunged angels, loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. The angels are going to bring judgment on the earth and the sea. Hurt not the earth. He holds the judgment back. He says, wait, don't bring the judgment yet. It's Revelation book of judgment. The day of Jehovah is a day of judgment. They're going to see judgment here throughout the book, and it falls from heaven upon the earth and the people, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the service of our God in their foreheads. Make it clear. It's not heaven. We don't need names on our foreheads. We know we're saved there. But to identify God's people, this is something he's not going to tattoo it on here. Yeah, again, Lonnie, a symbol. Brad, you want to comment on that? I just wanted to show them. These are on earth. And he counts the number 144,000. There's 144,000. They're on earth, God's servants on the earth. Now, they call tribes of Israel. That's God's people symbolically. That's what God's people in the Old Testament. Now, God's people today are sealed. This is the 144,000. This is the church today. That's my understanding of that, guys.
Yeah, well, people still live by symbolism today. People will use numbers. People will use letters. People will turn things upside down. People will use colors. Symbolism is all around us. And old, young, everybody uses it. It's just a matter of also seeing that it applies in Scripture. Lonnie, unless you had any other thoughts here, I'm going to flip back to where we left off as far as the study guide.
I'm finished. Go to it.
Okay, let's go ahead and pick up here. Ivy, we're going to bring you back to the number 24 in your sheet.
Well, the number 24, we think 12, maybe 12 Old Testament, New Testament worthies. They're around the throne. The great throne scene is found in chapter 4 and 5. You want to see heaven, go to chapter 4 and 5. Don't go to 21, 22. 21, 22 is the church. Says this is the bride. Chapter 4 and 5, the throne is set in heaven. There's a green rainbow. There are all these four living creatures around there. There's Jesus. Oh, that's a good one. Jesus is shown in Revelation as a lion and a lamb and the root of a tree called Jesse. Now, which is he? He's neither one, none of those literally, but he's all of those symbolically, right, guys? I mean, it's a symbolism. You get really contorted if, yeah, I mean, you got to have some twisted logic to understand that literally. It won't work. And so the 12, the 24, I think just simply refers to the people that have gone on and have achieved that, got the white robe. That's all I've got on that, guys. Anything else on that one? We'll go to 144,000 real quickly. Y'all good with that?
Yeah.
Fine. All right. 144,000, Revelation 7, 3, and 4, and chapter 14, 1 through, that's the only place we read 144,000. You'll read about it in the Old Testament. It doesn't involve the Antichrist. Somebody says, well, let's study the Antichrist in Revelation. Guess what? He's not there. He's not mentioned that he's there. He's not called out that he's there. 144, we only see 144,000. I mean, we only see the Antichrist in 1st, 2nd John. We don't see him in Daniel. We don't see him in Matthew 24. Some people invent him. But, folks, you got to go with what the Bible says. He tells you who the Antichrist is, and in this study, guys, we'll identify the Antichrist because some people get carried away with that. We will show you one. We'll tell you who he is, and you might be surprised. But anyway, back to this 144,000, then 12,000 of each tribe were selected. Now, I know that's symbolic. You know why? Because there are two tribes that are not missing in Revelation chapter 7. In those 12,000, tribe of Dan is not there. Tribe of Ephraim is not there. They're missing. But he says we're going to number 12,000 out of every tribe of Israel. Well, then is it a lie? Or is it said, well, no, it's not a lie. It's symbolic. And so that's to help understand if the tribes aren't literal, then the 144,000 is literal. So it means all of God's people on earth that are saved, which we call today the church. And so that's the church's symbolic number. How many people are in your church? Well, the symbolic number is a constant 144,000. Now, we saved the one exciting number in our study of numerology to last. Now, there are other numbers we can look at. Lonnie's got some half numbers and other things we can talk about. But the revelation itself that I want to show here is the number 6. 6 means imperfect. It falls short. It has on it the stain of defeat. 6. God created man on the 6th day, and look at the trouble that came out of that as a man went into sin and brought the whole need for the Christ to come and to bring us victory. But 6 looks good. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, it's going to make it. It's going to get to 7. Falls one short. It falls one short. It's not perfect. It's not complete. It's not whole. It is imperfect. It is incomplete. 6 has a sinister connotation of evil. Again, man who would sin was created on the 6th day. 6 is so close to 7. It aims at it, almost reaches it, but it falls short. It looked good, but it's defeated. Within it is the stroke of doom. The seed of destruction are in the devil's number, the number 666. It fails to measure up. I like to say God's got Satan's number and it's defeat. Now I can do it this way. 666. 6 is one short of 7. That's -1. You missed it by 1. If you take 60, devil tries again, that's 66. Well, that would be 77. If God's number falls one short, it falls 11 short. Try again, devil. Devil tries again. 666. He's still 666. And Jesus would be 777. So now the devil's 111 away. You want to try again, devil? You're not going to make it. You can't beat the Lord. God has got his number. And I like that idea. But the idea is not just 6. It's a multiple. It's an exaggeration. It's a 666. In other words, I'm showing you this. He can't win. He's going to lose. He's already lost through the death, burial, and resurrection. He's going to be defeated with the enemy that is persecuting you, Christian, and killing you. You're going to see the victory, have the victory. Now, when we study Daniel and Revelation, we keep in mind these symbolic numbers all throughout these two books, not their numeric value. Much of the unscriptural dispensational teachings have come about by forcing literal numbers on this and trying to make them literal when they are symbolic, going back to our Revelation 1, 1 through 3. Now, I'm going to throw a jump ball up in the air, and Lonnie or Brad, take that and kind of do with it what you will for a little bit, and I'll listen, and we'll kind of sum it up here in a little bit.
I'll try to help wrap it up. But Lonnie, we'll see if there's anything you want to add.
How much time do we have, Brad? You want to?
I'll tell you what, let's put about 10 minutes on it. How will that work for you?
Okay. Yeah. I'd like to, I'll take the 10 minutes and we'll work on it from there. Let me address a number that Ivy, did you address the number 40?
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did talk about it. I didn't really talk about the symbolism because it's used like 40 king, 40 years for each king. You mentioned the line of the 40s. Yeah, go ahead. You go with it.
And I'm not sure, Brad, that my photo is working right at the bottom of the page. Who's on the screen right now?
You are.
Okay. All right.
Now Brad is.
Okay. All right. It
now
just
you are.
Turned on mine. All right. Well, just before we did this, I'd like to make sure it's working right. The numbers in Revelation are symbolic, without a doubt. But it's also amazing how they mathematically work together. And that's probably the easiest scene in the number 40.
Mm-hmm.
Ivy talked about the number 4 being this physical world, and the number 10 being a complete number. 5 fingers, 5 toes, you're humanly, physically complete. Now, I think God gave us the intelligence and the wherewithal that we can learn to use these numbers some. And if you take the 10 and the 4, both physical numbers, and you multiply them together, you obviously get 40. Now, when you start thinking about the number 40, what you have a number that has a combination of these other two. Mm-hmm. And these are both physical numbers.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the complete number, 10. And the other one, 4, is the physical number.
Amen.
Now,
mm-hmm.
you can take the 4 and the 10, multiply them, and you get your 40. Now, what you start to look at in the Bible is how these numbers were used in certain situations. Let's go back to the flood. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you apply the number 40, the symbolic side of that number to that, you have a complete destruction of this physical world. 40 days, 40 nights,
mm-hmm.
God completely destroyed this world. It was a complete physical destruction. Now, you can go to other places where the number 40 was used. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. Now, what does that mean then with the 40? Well, he was physically tempted as much as possible, completely.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing left that would have tempted Christ any more than what he was tempted. He was tempted Amen. In all points, like as we are. So the number 40 there becomes very important because it was the temptation that he received at that period of time. So when you are looking at other instances in the Bible that use the number 40, children of Israel, they wandered in the wilderness 40 years. Well, we all know the events that led up to that and why it was 40 years, but at the same time, the number 40 says that was a complete physical trial that those people went under during that particular period of time. So the 40 was used. It was 40 years, and you'll see the consistency of that throughout the Bible. Now, once we understand that those numbers can be used in combination, there are a couple of numbers in Revelation that always for a long time bothered me as far as what they really meant. And I worked with them a long time, and I'm almost thoroughly convinced, though, that I understand what they are, and I'd like to just pass that on to you. In Revelation chapter 6, I can get my phone going here. In Revelation chapter 6, we have down in verse 8, have a statement there. It says, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name that sat on that horse was Death, and hell followed with him, and power was given to him over the fourth part of the earth." Now, we can read that, and we can easily understand that those were physical trials that Christians are going to go through all their life. Now, I'm reading from the King James Version. I think that the King James probably makes that number a little more understandable than some of the other translations. "But they gave him power over the fourth part of the earth." Now, what in the world would the fourth part of the earth be? Well, there's another number used over in chapter 8. And I'll just read one of them. Verse 7 says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that a third of the trees in the world is going to be burnt up? Well, I don't think so. A third of the stars and the moon is going to be destroyed. I don't think that's what it means. So what does that number mean? Well, when you start thinking about it, the one-fourth and one-third are simply fractions. And fractions denote a part of something. So what is this talking about? Is it talking about a part of the earth? Or is it talking about something else? Well, in Matthew 10, 28, we have a verse that reads, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, I talked about that a little bit earlier, that there are two parts to man. He has a physical body, and he has a spiritual soul. Now, if you were going to designate with a number the spirit or the physical body, how would you do it? Well, the number 4 is the physical number, and the number 3 is the spiritual number. So, if you look at the totality of man being both body and soul, then if you wanted to talk about one of those, how would you designate it? You couldn't use one half, because there would be no designation there. It'd be half and half, and you would never know which half you're talking about. So again, symbolically with numbers, what you have here is the one-fourth or fraction, one-fourth, referring to the physical part of man. Now, again, in that verse that we read, back in Matthew, or in Revelation chapter 6, it said that he had power over the one-fourth part of the earth. Now, and then we go back to Matthew 10:28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him as able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Those people in Revelation in chapter 6 were being killed physically. But God said, obviously you fear them physically, but he said, don't fear them. Fear the one who can destroy both soul and body. So and that is the one-fourth part is used in Revelation chapter 6. Then you go over to chapter 8, and that first several verses there talk about the third part of man. Well, what's the other part of man? He has a physical part. He has a spiritual part. So what you have is the number or the fraction 1/3 designating a certain part of man, his spiritual part, his soul. So what we're reading in chapter 8 is not material that is directed toward our physical bodies. It is events that are directed toward our spiritual souls. And I'm sure that we'll talk about that a little bit later, but that'll give you a little information and you can look it up and start thinking about it, and we'll talk about it more later. Back to you, Brad.
Thank you very much, Lonnie. I'm reminded several years ago, I read about a man who was going to teach the book of Revelation. He said, I want to be expansive. I want to approach the book of Revelation from about 5 different standpoints. So you're going to hear 5 different interpretations from it. Well, it didn't take very long before his class collapsed. It just can't do that. If you're going to start the book of Revelation, you have to have some basic parameters. And that's what we've tried to do in these introductory videos.
Let me show you one thing on numbers real quick, Brad.
Sure.
Since he's gone into this. You ever looked at the Roman numerals?
Yeah.
This is something else. What's the I mean in one?
Well,
is one, right?
I just cut to the chase. You total them all up and you come up with 666.
What's V? That's 5. Yeah. X is 10. L is 50. C is 100. D is 5. That's the enemy. Revelation 13. What is it? 18. There, the mark of the beast. His number is 666. That's the Roman alphabet number.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying that that's a absolute proof, but boy, that's, if it's not, it's a coincidence then that he numbers that number. And it is, I don't believe it's a number of chosen apostles crown. I don't believe it's a lot of the things people say, but that might have some interesting, and the seven, city of seven hills, you know, Rome is called. So we've got a lot of that going on in Revelation 2, but Brad, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'll put that Roman numerals is wild.
You know, when people add up the Roman numerals, they're familiar really with all of them except one. And that last numeral was the numeral for 1,000.
They didn't need really that then.
That really gets interesting. And that goes back to what you're talking about earlier. You just amplify that to say this is evil on steroids.
I don't know where I found that. Roman alphabet, and there it is, Roman Empire. You know, I don't know. Again, that's not a proof, a QED proof like math. But boy, that's something to consider because it's called out there, and I just don't know.
Yeah,
but it's something. Yeah, and this is a wonder book. It's amazing. I mean, I love it. I'm intrigued by it. I understand some of it. I don't know. Anybody knows it all? I've got things I want answers to. We'll get to that. Where do we go first by verse?
It is. Stepping back just a second, too, as far as approaching the book, it was mentioned in one of the earlier videos, as you start working your way through this book, it's good. It's really helpful to maybe start a notebook or have something on hand like material tonight where you have actually written down key terms. You know, Babylon. What's Babylon? The beasts. We've got two beasts. There's a land beast and there's the sea beast. And, you know, we've got the false prophet. And try to come up with some basic definitions. And if you have to fill in some blanks as we go through, that's perfectly fine. And also have some information in there, perhaps about numbers and colors. And you can put in some information about animals and just build yourself almost a little Revelation dictionary. And it will bless you immensely.
It'll mean more to you. It'll mean a lot more to you if you do that. That's a great idea.
Lonnie, anything that you'd like to say before we wrap things up tonight?
No, I just would encourage people that might be watching this to do what you said do there, is to make a little notebook of the symbols and the numbers. And when you get through, you'll be surprised how easy some of the passages, at least in Revelation, become, and go back to the Old Testament and see how they use those symbols in the Old Testament. And that's how you do the book. I personally think, now there'll be some people on here that disagree with me, but I personally think the only book you need in order to interpret Revelation is the Bible. I don't think you need history books.
And it's like a puzzle, Lonnie. When you get it together and it comes together, man, it's incredible. I mean, it's wow. I don't get this. I don't get that. And all of a sudden the thing gels. It's a circle of truth. It all comes together. Not something hanging out here like, well, what's this rapture thing we don't know about? And it doesn't make any sense. It's not in the book. So we can leave out the extraneous and come within what is there. And boy, it's a beautiful picture.
Well, we hope to get more and hope that you'll continue to join us. So we do appreciate you tuning in for this video. Lonnie, Ivy, as always, thank you so much. We hope you look forward to next time. God bless.
Thank you.